You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
We are finding out now here on RNIB Connect Radio about how both bespoke audio description and soundscapes can create a multi-sensory way into works of art for blind and partially sighted people, as I am joined by Glenn Harvey, who is a sound designer and is also the founder and creator of the exhibition This Sound is Purple, which was on at the Squarefoot Space Gallery in Marylebone in London. Hi Glenn, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi Toby, thank you for having me on.
So firstly Glenn, tell me a little bit about how the exhibition The Sound is Purple came about and using both audio description and soundscapes to bring works of art to life for blind and partially sighted people in maybe a more immersive way.
Yes, certainly. So really it came about through my love of both going to art galleries but also my background in sound design. I've always believed that sound really does have the power to add depth and emotion to an experience, but also very acutely aware that galleries are still very much largely kind of visual spaces. And I kind of wondered really if sound could open up that experience or those experiences to more people. And really with this show, the accessibility of it wasn't an afterthought. It was kind of the starting point for me. I really wanted blind and partially sighted visitors to experience the artwork emotionally, not just kind of to receive information, which is kind of what you often find with these handset type audio narrations that some galleries kind of either provide or charge for as you kind of walk around and you kind of just get given a bit of information. So I wanted there to be more of a sort of an emotional connection to the artwork. But the sound for me doesn't replace the artwork. It gives you a way of connecting to it and deepening your emotional response to it.
Glenn, do give me a little bit of an overview of what people were able to explore and experience through the exhibition This Sound is Purple, as I know you had a lot of input and advice from groups of blind and partially sighted people when you were setting up the exhibition.
We did indeed, yeah. So the way that it worked, so the visitors began with an audio map, basically. So as you walked in, audio was front and center. So you would scan a QR code and you would hear an audio map of the space. So where everything was to orientate you and explaining kind of how the whole exhibition worked. So that was your first welcome point into the show. And then each of the artworks had their own audio experience. And that audio experience was made up of three elements. So we had an audio description, which was a very kind of physical, literal description of the artwork. We then had the artists themselves talking about their work. So it was like an artist reflection in their own voice. And that might be their motivation or what their meaning was or their process or something like that. So something that really kind of gave you another way in to appreciating that work and experiencing that work. And then underpinning all of that was a bespoke immersive soundscape that I created specifically for that artwork. And every soundscape was unique to the individual piece. And with regards to how kind of the our blind and partially sighted visitors kind of helped shape it, I actually engaged with the sight loss councils right from the very start of this project, because I wanted the whole thing to really be informed by lived experience, really, rather than me making assumptions of, you know, what would be useful or what might work or whatever it might be. So everything from the audio through to how visitors navigate around the space, around the gallery, the kind of the accessibility side of things with regards to where friction points currently exist for people navigating around galleries or museums or other kind of public spaces, and really the kind of the overall visitor experience. So having their input right from the very start meant that it wasn't just a case of me putting it together and then testing the exhibition. They really did help design it and shape it right from the very start.
Let's listen to a short piece from one of the descriptive soundscapes of two of the works of art that were on display in This Sound is Purple.
Last I Heard and Dawn Chorus by Bianca Raffaella. Both works are acrylic on linen, each measuring 50 by 50 centimetres. They are presented here side by side as a diptych. At first glance, both paintings appear almost entirely white. Their surfaces are quiet and luminous, with faint layers of colour and gesture emerging slowly from the pale ground. Last I Heard is the more concentrated of the two. Across the centre of the canvas, a loose gathering of blue marks begins to form, with darker blue elements creating the strongest points of focus. Around these, thin washes of white, pale grey, cream, and soft yellow drift in and out of view. The paint appears brushed, rubbed, and lightly dissolved into the linen, so that the image feels suspended, as though held just on the edge of appearing. Beside it, Dawn Chorus is lighter and more diffuse. A pale, horizontal sweep moves across the middle of the canvas, carrying soft blues, chalky whites, faint pinks, and touches of yellow. Here, the marks feel more dispersed, spreading gently across the surface before dissolving back into the ground. Thin layers of paint, subtle drips and softened edges create a hazy, atmospheric surface. Seen together, the two works share a restrained palette of white, pale blue, blush pink, and muted yellow. Neither contains a defined image or recognisable subject. Instead, both are composed of soft gestures, faint traces, and lightly built surfaces that suggest something fleeting and half-formed. The linen remains visible beneath the paint throughout, giving both works a sense of openness, softness, and quiet material presence.
Obviously, that was a very short clip, but I think you get a real sense of how it all works. And that was by an artist called Bianca, who is visually impaired herself as well.
That's correct. Yes, so Bianca Raffaella wanted to be involved in the show because she is visually impaired herself. So her painting is very, very meaningful to the exhibition because she paints from memory. She is someone who, I believe, lost her sight sort of later in life. So and then took up her art. So to have her involved in the show was really, really quite special.
And this might be a bit of a chicken and egg question, Glenn, but when you were working on the soundscapes, what did you work on first? Was it the description or the soundscapes, or did that process sort of vary depending on the work of art?
It did vary, yes, depending on the work. So with the audio description side of things, that usually came first, because with the audio descriptions, I wanted those to be very kind of clear and objective and free from kind of unnecessary art jargon. So one of the big things for me with regards to accessibility is to make it accessible to everyone. And I know that when people kind of go to art galleries or maybe avoid art galleries, it's because they think that space isn't for them. Maybe they don't know how to talk about art or don't know what it is that they're looking at. So for me, having it as plain without jargon as I could was a real kind of key part for me. So those descriptions were physical descriptions. They were the size of the piece, the materials that were used, the colours, the composition. So that was just a way of kind of allowing people to visualise what that artwork was. The soundscapes themselves were then created in one of two ways. So some of the artwork was based in reality. It was based in real locations and real people. And with those pieces, I really wanted to have a sort of an authenticity to them. So I, where possible, would go along to the locations where those paintings were. Some of those were in London, some of those were in Manchester. And I would record the sound of that environment. So when people listen to the soundscapes, they're being completely immersed in an authentic recording of that vantage point that the painting is taken from. Where we had slightly more abstract pieces, I would work with the artist and kind of listen to the artist's reflection of what the themes or the emotions were for that piece, and then kind of create the soundscape based on that. So it would be something that then sort of supported or enhanced the artist's intention.
And what sort of feedback and comments did you get from blind or partially sighted visitors to the exhibition The Sound is Purple?
It was overwhelmingly positive. I was really, really blown away by the feedback that I've received. The feedback really started from the start of the project. So having the sight loss councils involved, they were giving me feedback constantly. And as I said earlier, that really helped to kind of shape what the show became and kind of the accessibility elements of it. But then as the show went on, we had visitors from Beyond Sight Loss, another charity. They brought a whole contingent down to the show, which is amazing. We had people from the Moorfields Eye Hospital. The feedback that I got overwhelmingly was people said that they felt included in the gallery space. They really kind of felt connected with it, which was really, really lovely to hear. One of the visitors, in fact, that blowing my own trumpet a bit, but he did say it was the best gallery experience that he'd ever had, which, you know, is quite an accolade. I'm going to put that one on the next poster. But I think the feedback also was people really loved hearing directly from the artists, because that's something that's quite unusual. And it really kind of personifies the artwork, because you're hearing directly from the person that created that piece of art as to what their emotional connection is to it. And in so hearing that, it gives you another emotional connection to it. So people really, really loved that. There was lots of kind of emotional responses as well, but overwhelmingly very, very positive. And there was also quite a lot of constructive feedback as well. And that constructive feedback was around kind of how to add other elements in, maybe tactile elements, enhancements or changes in the technological aspect of it. So how you actually access the sound, which will really kind of help me with future versions of the show and to kind of minimize those friction points to make it a sort of an even more accessible experience.
You also had a room in the gallery space which did not actually have any work of art in it, but just the immersive soundscape. And you were also asking people to share the images that were forming in their minds from just hearing the sound. And do tell me a little bit about how people were responding to that sound on its own. And I think those comments might be forming a work of art on their own too.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. So that was the listening room, which I think was one of my favourite parts of the exhibition, to be fair. So the room basically had nothing in it. There was no artwork in that room. All that there was an array of speakers around the walls. So there were no visual prompts in there at all. What I asked people who stepped into that room to do was just to let the sound kind of wash over them, really. So I'd created this sound piece, which was about 8.5 minutes long, and it was a bit of a journey sound piece. So there was some kind of quite abstract sounds in there. There was quite a lot of real world sounds in there as well. And I really wanted to see how people interpreted that. So it was a case of, where does it take you? So does it take you to a particular memory, or does it evoke an emotion perhaps? Or some people maybe even might see colours or places or maybe moments from childhood. And as people came out, I encouraged them to write it down on a little note that we then kind of put up on a wall. And that wall became kind of, the notes on that wall became kind of more and more and more as the show went on. And just to see the array of different responses to this single piece of sound was amazing. So there were some people that had real deep emotional responses to it. Some people that maybe just wrote a word down, which again, fine. Some people that wrote entire essays of exactly where it took them. So some people were connecting with it in such varied ways. It was really, really amazing. And those pieces of feedback became a growing, living piece of art in the show itself. And something that I'm kind of currently doing is collating all of those. And I'm going to turn those into a piece of art in itself. So just to have all of those bits of feedback and all of the notes, the handwritten notes, I think is something that's really kind of quite special. So that's something that I'm currently working on at the moment.
Great. And I think there's something about spending good quality time in front of a work of art to really get immersed in the work and to have a relationship with the work too, which is something you may not normally get in an exhibition where there are hundreds and hundreds of works of art on display.
Oh, absolutely. That really was one of the, I would say, sort of secondary aims of the show and of the exhibition, because I think exactly what you've just said there, I think that's really, really valuable for everyone, not just blind and partially sighted visitors, but for anyone that kind of steps into a gallery. Certainly in today's modern world where everything is kind of going at, you know, 1,000 miles an hour and the scroll is constant and people are rushing from one thing to another, I wanted the exhibition to kind of naturally encourage people to slow down. So if you were to step into that space, some people may only spend a couple of minutes, maybe 10 minutes, kind of as they walk around, kind of, I don't know, kind of glancing at the work and then walk out again. What I wanted is for people to spend a good kind of 5-6 minutes, which is what each of the audio pieces was, really connecting with the art. So not rushing through, but spending kind of real time with each one and kind of connecting and having that kind of deeper relationship with the artwork. And again, going back to the sort of feedback, that's one of the things that the people fed back to me was that they don't give themselves time to do that when they go into galleries. And it was really, really nice to almost be forced to spend some time with the artwork. And they really did feel a much kind of deeper connection with it. So yeah, that was massively important to me.
So Glenn, having now put on This Sound is Purple, what is next? And is this something that you would like, I suppose, other galleries to use to bring works of art to life to people through immersive soundscapes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I to me, this feels like the beginning rather than the end. Yes, the exhibition's finished, but this is the start of the journey. For me personally, I'm kind of taking a bit of a short breath at the moment after the exhibition, and I'm looking at reviewing all of the feedback and then kind of building that into making the model better for the next show. So I absolutely kind of don't want the project to stop here. And yeah, I would really love to see this approach adopted by kind of more galleries, museums, maybe even online collections, because it's something that is definitely, it's a scalable model. It's not just a one-off exhibition. So currently I'm exploring kind of partnerships. There's quite a lot of hospital trusts that use art and have a lot of art, use it for sort of art therapy, that kind of thing. And they're looking to ways of making their displays more accessible. So that's something that I'm currently exploring. Certainly future exhibitions, I would absolutely love to do it again because it's been such a great experience. And then looking at kind of maybe consultancy around kind of accessible exhibition design.
So Glenn, if people would like to follow the progress and next steps for This Sound is Purple, where would be the best place for them to go to find out more and follow the progress too?
Okay, I'd probably suggest the best place is the website, which is thissoundispurple.com. So any future exhibitions and links and things like that will all be up on the website or on the socials. I'm at thissoundispurple. But yeah, I'm sure if you just did a Google for This Sound is Purple, you'd definitely find me.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Glenn, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about This Sound is Purple, which sounds like a great way of bringing artwork to life for blind and partially sighted people.
Thank you very much for having me, Toby.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.